Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are a God who is worthy of our praises. And we can praise you this evening for your work in creation, and we can think of the way creation is displaying your glory for us, and we can think of the work that you have shown in our lives, carefully directing and orchestrating, showing yourself faithful to us day by day. And we can think of your work through your Son. We can think of that assurance that we just sang of, that you are for us. We can be confident of that because of the work of our Savior Jesus. So, Lord, with hearts that are full of praising you, would you give us the wisdom, give us the strength to turn our minds now to think of your word, to see more of your Son. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Many people think of Jesus as being a good teacher. I think usually if you hear someone say that, they're starting there, they're focusing on his teaching because they're often denying a lot of other things about his character and his work. But you've probably heard people who look to Jesus and say, oh, he was a wonderful teacher. They're thinking of the moral teachings of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount. Even people who don't like much of what the Gospels say about Jesus often like that moral teaching. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Many philosophers and teachers have looked to that as, okay, that's wisdom. But often people who look just to that, simply to that kind of moral teaching, have much more of a problem with some of the audacious claims of Jesus. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and laden, and I will give you rest. As a Christian, that might be extremely comforting. You do realize how audacious a statement that is, right? It's not, you know, a vacation destination saying, come here, and you can relax and have a good time. He's saying, come to me, and I will give you rest. No one knows the Father except the Son. That was Jesus talking about himself. In John 8, Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. And we recognize that the people who were there in person picked up stones to stone him because they believed he was blaspheming. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Many really love the moral teachings. But we recognize that the same book that includes those moral teachings includes those audacious statements. I think it's C.S. Lewis who particularly pointed out that can someone be a really good teacher who says these things about himself if they aren't true? Hard for us to say, I think. He had some good things to say. And he was also claiming to be God. I really love the audacious claims of Jesus. Sometimes I think I kind of love it just because I sort of love when someone says something really shocking. You read through one of the things he says, and there's a little bit of me that's like, oh my, can you believe he just said that? I also believe them because I think they're true. Jesus was pointing to real things. He does himself give rest to the weary. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Well, this evening I want us to look at another passage where we see Jesus making a number of audacious claims, just a couple of them right in a row. I want us to look at Matthew chapter 12, and I think you'll probably be able to see by the time we get to the end of the passage how this might connect with the morning's service. We're looking at chapter 12 and verse 38. Chapter 12, verse 38 to 42. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." But he answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here." In this episode, Jesus is speaking to people who were saying the right thing for the wrong reasons. Remember, what they were saying to Jesus was, "Show us a sign." There doesn't seem to be anything initially, as we're reading that would be so offensive in that. They'd like a little proof. Could you show us something? But Jesus looks into their hearts and says this calling out for a sign is really a disregarding of the many signs that he'd already given. In some ways, it might a little be like a child who talks to their parent, says, "I need you to show me that you love me." I mean, that could be sincere. Maybe the child really is wondering. But likely the parent has shown that child that truth over and over and over as they provide for them day by day by day. Sometimes saying that kind of thing, "Show me that you love me," is really a manipulation of a parent or someone else. Well, Jesus responds not with a sign, but with another pair of pretty audacious statements. We really see two of them. First, the statement that one greater than Jonah is here. Again, the men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. Now, I think perhaps we don't view that as a really audacious statement. Not quite on the level of "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And I think maybe the reason we do that is that we tend to have a little bit of a dim view of Jonah. You know, yes, a prophet, okay. But lots of problems with Jonah, you know, the complaining prophet. The one who dragged his feet, or really, I guess, picked up his feet and ran in the other direction when God told him what to do. We look at Jonah and we see someone who's consumed with hatred for the people of Nineveh. I think sometimes when we read that book, we can kind of feel, you know, can you believe this disobedient, hateful, racist prophet? We're tempted to look at Jonah that way, and I don't think all of those views are entirely wrong. But it's good for us to realize that that's not probably the way the people of Israel viewed Jonah. I mean, I don't think they viewed any of their prophets in that kind of dismissive way. These were people who talked with God. Yes, they were still human. They disobeyed, sometimes flagrantly. But Jonah's a prophet. Heard the voice of God. Spoke it to others. Maybe even more than that, he's an effective prophet. We see all of the downsides, all of the failings there. But we shouldn't miss the amazing work God accomplishes through Jonah. You know, how did the people of God respond to, you know, the prophet Isaiah? Great prophet right there, you know. What was the effect of him? Nothing on the people of Israel. Wonderful things we can learn from Isaiah, but if we're simply talking about effectiveness, not much. Think of the way people responded to Jonah. A huge city. The capital of one of the enemies of Israel. Repent of their sins. I've heard some people say that response to a gospel message, repent, perhaps the greatest response that there is ever in history to one of the warnings of God. This is a great prophet. And Jesus says, I'm greater than him. He says, the men of Nineveh will rise up and condemn you, he says to his audience. Because a prophet greater than Jonah is here. How is Jesus greater than Jonah? We said that Jonah heard the voice of God. Jesus knows God perfectly. Jesus obeys God perfectly. When he is directed to come to earth, he doesn't run the other direction. Comes to earth as a baby. If we want to talk about a response to the message, Jonah comes and preaches and we see a response of a whole city. When we look at the effectiveness of Jesus, by his death he ransoms a mighty host for God. We rejoice in the greatness of our prophet, Jesus. Well, Jesus makes another claim here, right? Greater than Jonah, he says. He also says, one greater than Solomon. Look at verse 42. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Perhaps you hear the connection to this morning's series. Now, once again, think we sometimes take a kind of dim view of Solomon, don't we? I mean, we hear Solomon and we say, yes, yes, you know, very glorious, of course. But all the wives, all the failures in later life. And sometimes I've heard people really debate, do you think Solomon was really a believer? Did he really follow after God at all? And I don't really know how to enter into that debate, really. We hear Solomon and we immediately think failures sometimes. But once again, it's good to remember, it wouldn't be how the people of Israel would think of Solomon. Yes, he had failures, sadly. I think they would remember those. They know God's word. But he was the height of their nation, the height of glory for Israel, the height of prestige and wealth. He was the height of wisdom, the wisest man who ever lived. And Jesus just throws out to this audience, one greater than Solomon is here. One who truly embodies the wisdom of God. Solomon spoke with amazing wisdom, but we know he didn't embody that wisdom, at least fully. Jesus embodies it. Jesus is one who never fails and turns away from God. Jesus is one who brings salvation, victory, glory to all of his people. His kingdom is fabulously more glorious than the kingdom of Solomon ever was. Rejoice in the glory of our King, Jesus. What shall we take from this? I think one thing we should remember is to listen to the warnings of Jesus. Jonah warned and Nineveh responded. He warned of judgment. He called the people to turn to God. Jesus is warning as well. We hear these warnings directed to the people of Israel that Jesus was encountering, and should take those warnings to our heart as well. Jesus is the one greater than Jonah, the one greater than Solomon. May we hear his wisdom. I think we can sometimes perhaps have the feeling that the wisdom of God is great for Sundays. It's wonderful that we come here and get reminded about the wisdom of God, but then we can slip back into a more worldly wisdom by the beginning of work on Monday. Friends, listen to the wisdom of Jesus. The final thing I'd say as a takeaway from this, don't ask for another sign. You can often wonder as we encounter things in life, as we struggle week by week, does God really love me? I think that's often what our questions boil down to. There are hard things in life. You can think, you know, why won't you give me a sign? Do you really care, God? Can I really trust God? I think those are questions that come from our hearts. Been given an answer to those questions in our Lord Jesus. I think you can imagine a Christmas morning, and you can imagine a child, you know, in a sort of threatening way, maybe, you know, if I don't get the Christmas present I wanted, do my parents really love me? Do they really? maybe I think of these things too much from the parent's perspective now, but I look at those kinds of things and say, really, the Christmas present is the indication of whether I care for you? Not like housing? Like all the food that you eat? Like education, you know, transportation, love, care, affirmation, you know, like everything we're doing all the time? That's not an indication. Maybe those things should indicate where my heart lies with regard to you. Now, sometimes I think parents can say that in a really unloving way. Understand? But I think that principle still applies to us. Do you wonder if God loves you? Because of something that happened this week. Friends, look to Jesus. He who did not spare his own son, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? We've been given all things in Jesus. So Jesus is the one greater than Jonah, the one greater than Solomon. Praise the Lord for this wonderful Redeemer. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your kindness to us. We thank you, Lord, that when we face difficult things, we can look to the mercy that you've shown us in Jesus and know that you are a God who is merciful and kind. Would you be with us today? Would you guard our hearts as we go into this new week? Would you keep us from questioning and doubting you? And would you help us to rejoice in our Savior and in the glorious prophet and king and priest that you have made him to be for us? Lord, would you please be with us in Jesus' name?